hour. Welcome to Your Hidden Power. I'm Doug Steffen, here to explore with you the mysteries of life, things that go on that are not explainable, at least in normal circumstances. We'll be talking about photographing spiritualist transformations. Pretty fascinating stuff. Later in the hour, we joined by Uri Geller and a focus on your motion, movement. What are you doing to change yourself, and how can you change if you want to? Mary O'Malley, our resident intuitive, joining us, and Maria Francesca Trilogy, our astrologer, to talk about Mercury going into a retrograde. Oh, always a great opportunity for shaking it out, if you will. The idea behind this program is to get you to think about things that you might not normally think about. And thus is the case in this circumstance with Shannon Taggart, who is a photographer, comes from New York City. Her work has been shown all around the country, all around the world, in fact. Publications like Time, New York Times Magazine, Discover, and Newsweek have had pictures of her. She was the scholar and artist in residence at the Morbid Anatomy Museum in Brooklyn. She's been working for a long time on a project called Spiritualism Seance, Spiritualistic Ritual, and the Search for Ectoplasm. So that's, by the way, on sale at unbound.com. So you have quite a resume, Shannon. Nice to have you here with us on Your Hidden Power.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Thank
you. What got you into photographing some of these events or some of these circumstances? I don't know quite how to describe it because it's so, it's almost indescribable, is it not?
Yes, but now it's kind of an exotic thing, but actually in the late 1800s, spiritualism was a hugely popular religious movement.
Right.
And I grew up in Buffalo, New York, which is about an hour drive from Lilydale, New York, which is the world's largest spiritualist community. It's been there since 1879, and it continues to operate as a small town full of mediums who are spiritualists.
Place. Yeah, fascinating. Yeah, you can go to Florida in the wintertime to a place that's sort of the mirror image of it. Now I can't remember the name of the town.
Casadega.
That's it, Casadega. Thank you.
And Casadega is actually named Casadega because people from Lilydale went and settled it. And Lilydale is actually situated on a lake called Casadega Lake.
Now, see, I didn't know that.
They're,
fascinating.
Yes, they do correspond.
Yeah.
So I, you know, growing up nearby, my cousins would go sometimes in the summer for readings or, you know, visit Lilydale. And in Lilydale, they have these spots. There's virgin forests, and they have a special spot in the town called Inspiration Stump, and it's way deep in the woods, and there's benches, and mediums have been just giving messages anonymously to people. I mean, you don't sign up. You just go and sit on a bench, and there'll be a message service, and a medium will pick people from the crowd. And my cousin went once and got this very intense message that shocked my entire family. And this is when I was 16 years old. And I thought, how could someone know something like that? I just became very curious. And then years later, I was working as a photojournalist, and I wanted to do I thought maybe I'd do a summer project about this quirky little town because I became interested because of this message. And instead, here I am 16 years later, still contemplating the mysteries of spiritualism.
I first became aware of spiritualism, and I would consider myself a spiritualist, sort of through and through. Mm-hmm. In the early 40s, there was a crisis in my life, and this seemed to be a good place to turn for answers. I was looking for answers. And no matter what age you get into this, I think people are motivated to go there because they're looking for answers. After all, isn't that really what religion is all about? Supposedly, we are to get answers. Now, in terms of... Go ahead, excuse me.
Yes, I agree. And that's, I think, one of the wonderful and amazing things about Lilydale is it holds the space for such exploration and questioning. And I've met so many people there who end up there and they'll say, I never expected to be at a place like this, but here I am because something in my life happened and drew me here. And that's why it's such a special place. There's not many places like it in the world, that is for sure. It's a place to ponder the mysteries and the line between life and death, and the pain and grief that comes along with it, and the wonderment of personal experience. There's a lot available there if you're a seeker.
Well, if you're a seeker, if you're open to it, if you're curious, there are lots of questions, not so many answers sometimes, but I find my question for you is how you capture. You started taking photographs here in 2001, so I want to talk about what you've captured, where people can see it, what you've encountered, that sort of thing. Shannon Taggart is with us. What are you getting a picture of if it's in spirit? By definition, it's not visible.
That's a great question. So when I began my project, I was working as a photojournalist. So I started doing very straightforward pictures, just documenting healing or mediumistic messages, basically anything that was going on in the town. And I realized soon on that the pictures were, there was something missing, and they were, I was not really communicating the psychological reality of the event, because there was this invisible element and it was something that seemed almost impossible to photograph. And so what ended up happening is I started having some happy accidents with my camera. One of the first is I was at the Lilydale Museum photographing the woman who was volunteering that day. And I took a picture, and it came out with like a big purple orb right by her shoulder. And it was, I got two frames with the same kind of photographic anomaly. And I thought it was so strange. And I showed her the picture, she said, oh, that's my husband, Bob.
There's a picture that I've talked about a lot on the air. My father, who apparently is a ghost in his old house, my old house, our old house, he's been seen and photographed by a couple of different people in the house. And this is 4 or 5 years after he died. So It's not like this doesn't happen, or that you're the only one in the world who's ever done this. And I'm not taking away from you. I'm just giving you a little more credibility, because I think that people who are afraid, they fear the unknown, they don't want to see these pictures. Nah, couldn't happen. This woman is a fake. She's making this up. I'm sure you hear all of that stuff, don't you, Shannon?
I absolutely do, and I actually embrace that all interpretations, and the work that I'm creating is not meant to answer anything for anybody. It's actually meant to create questions or make people wonder or have to decide for themselves what is happening in the image. And so I welcome all interpretations. It's something that I'm trying to engage the topic and to make people wonder and question about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And how's this worked with you and people that you're close to? When you show somebody one of these pictures for the first time, and by the way, can we see them in this book, unbound.com, or are they available on a website, or how do people see these pictures?
Yes. I have a website, shannontaggart.com, and there are samples of these images, and there is also the link to the unbound.com pre-sale of my book. And there's actually a short video where I talk about my work. It's a minute and a half, and it streams through some of the images, and you get a really good idea of the work and what I'm trying to do with that 90-second video.
Does anybody try to keep you from doing this? When you go to a seance or to some other, you attend and bring your camera with the express purpose of being able to see or photograph what you might see. Do people try to stop you?
No, I never go into a situation where I'm not invited and welcomed, and I and actually part of the situation going on. So, and it did take a long time for me to build trust where people didn't think I was trying to, you know, expose them as frauds or do something really exploitative. I've been working so long now, people know me, and I'm often very welcomed into seances or other, you know, readings, other ceremonies.
Yeah. Beside the description you gave us a few minutes ago, what's the picture that has stirred you the most or shocked you the most?
Well, that picture, that happened with a medium named Gordon Garforth. And he lives in York, England, and I met him at the Arthur Findlay College, which is a spiritualist learning center. Basically, it's I describe it as like a Hogwarts for adult spiritualists, like the Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But I met Gordon there, and he said, well, in my seance, the spirits transform my body, and I use ectoplasm to make my hands very large. And I think to myself, oh, well, this probably is not going to happen, but okay, I'll come and sit with my camera. So he allowed me to photograph the sitting, and I was about 6 feet away from him. And his wife, who guides, you know, is kind of his gatekeeper during the seance, says, okay, now Gordon's going to work with the spirits, and they're going to work with his hands. And he lifted his hand out, and he just moved it, and it, to my eyes, it effortlessly just skipped into this gigantic form.
I screamed,
which
stuff.
Is a really, yeah, really impolite thing to do in a seance. And then everybody else started screaming too. And I couldn't tell if they were screaming because I screamed, and I was convinced that in my picture, when I saw it, there would be a small hand and that I had just hallucinated this. Mm-hmm. But when I saw the picture on my camera, it was a gigantic hand.
Joining us now is Uri Geller, who needs no explanation or introduction. UriGeller.com brings you to his focus on mystery, the mystics, paranormal activities. So this comes right into your wheelhouse, Uri. I've been talking to a lady named Shannon Taggart, who you would probably be interested in talking to on your own. She's going to join us for a few minutes of your visit. She takes pictures of things in places like Lilydale. She goes and photographs what for most of us is invisible, goes to seances and takes pictures of the energy, the motion, things that you normally would not be able to photograph. And I thought there was some striking synchronicity, actually, to her work and to the things that you talk about. I love the word synchronicity. She uses it. So I'll introduce you to Shannon Taggart. Shannon, this is Uri Geller. I wanted you to tell him what you do quickly and get his reaction to how you have used the power of photography to bring about understanding of things that are not necessarily easily understood.
Wow, this is such an honor to be included in this conversation. So thank you so much.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you.
I'm actually a big fan of the work that you did with Thelma Moss and with the Curlian photography. I think that those images are just wonderful.
Yes, if we can just one moment, let me explain. Let's explain our listeners what Curlian photography means. But I remember while I was being studied by the CIA, I also was asked to see if I could produce energy out of my fingertip and put it on photographic film and see what comes out. So they thought of a number, which I did not know. And when I placed my finger on the photographic pad, sometimes the energy would form to a number 3 or to a triangle. It was really a very, very interesting experiment.
Well, what I'm doing is I'm also trying to use the photographic process to see what effects can happen, to see what kind of synchronicities can happen with the invisible experiences I'm trying to document. And the more I've been trying to work with it, the more successful I've been. And I feel like photography is a very mysterious process, and there's a lot to explore there with photography and these types of experiences.
So,
yeah, well, look, you know, these type of photography sessions go way back in the late 19th century and the early 20th century. Spiritualism is basically a belief that the spirits of the dead can communicate with the living, was the kind of the latest rage then. And there were lots of photographers who could be able, they would just focus their minds holding the camera, and they would take pictures. And some of the most amazing pictures I have seen that could not be trickery came out of these incredible, people who photographed energies and seances and so forth. What was your, here's a question, what was your most, in your opinion, your most amazing picture that you ever took and simply have no explanation to?
I just asked her that question as she was explaining it, but go ahead, give him that piece again.
I have another one, too.
Oh, good. All right.
So it was with the same medium, actually, Gordon Garforth, and I took a, he was in a trance state, and I was taking pictures of him, and this picture came out where he looks like he has a mustache and his face is totally different, and it actually looks a little bit scary, so I was afraid to show it to him. But when I showed him the picture, he said, "Oh my gosh, I love this." And then he showed me a picture of his great grandfather, and when you see them together, it looks as if his face had transformed into his great grandfather. And that's probably my most striking photographic synchronicity to date. And
I'm glad.
I do believe that as we have spoken about this, you know, dozens of times, maybe hundreds of times, you know, we're all made from energy. We're energy beings. We're energetic beings. And energy, although today cannot be photographed, but there are sensitive computers that deal with energy photography. And some photographers, like you, for instance, you probably have some type of a connection, mind connection with your camera, and you can pick up these energy waves that come out of human beings. I mean, like exactly like you said before, Kirlian photography is capturing the energy that humans emit and animals emit. And some of them are quite mind-blowing. And I think this is, you're dealing with something that will develop more in the future and maybe will even be used for medical purposes.
Well, I wanted to have the two of you get together. It probably would be cool if you can just go to Uri's website, Shannon, Uri Geller, URIGELLER.com, and communicate directly with him. I'll bet there's more to this conversation than just having you here on the program, but there is as I use the term synchronicity, one of our favorite words here, hearing that. Do you know this fellow, Gordon? What's his name, Shannon?
Gordon Garforth.
Do you know him? He's an Englishman, Uri?
No. What does he do?
He's a physical medium that he's the person I think I've had the most interesting photographs of. So there must be something about us working together that creates...
Yeah, probably. And you know, Doug, no matter how many skeptics there are out there who try to debunk mediums and so forth, the only people who are in the realm of the paranormal who can fill up an entire auditorium of 2,000 or 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people are mediums.
Right.
People just flock to see them. They all have the hope that they can connect to their loved ones on the other side. It's just incredible watching a medium work on stage. Now, some of them are charlatans. Yes,
yep.
I can detect that. But many of them are real mediums who really have a channel into the other side.
All right. You two get together off the air. Thank you, Shannon Taggart. The book is something that you want to look for called Unbound.com. Go to Shannon Taggart, TAGGART.com, to see some of the work. continued success and best of luck, Shannon. I hope that you are able to talk and maybe meet Uri. Uri Geller's website is URIGELLER, urigeller.com. Here every week on Your Hidden Power. Joining us now is intuitive Mary O'Malley, who has a fabulous website. You can get a lot of help at psychicscout.com, all one word, PSYCHICSCOUT, psychicscout.com. The fact that people really trust you, Mary, has to be a very heavy burden, or is it? Is it easy for you? You do your work well. People come to you, and they come, and they come, and they keep coming, and they keep coming because they trust you. Do you think about that out of the box, or is it just, you know, something that comes naturally? Do you take for granted, I guess, the fact that people trust you? And maybe we should talk about trusting spiritual assistance in general.
Mm-hmm. The sessions get pretty intimate. Spirit comes through and we'll talk about issues that are in a person's way, opportunities to heal something so they can move forward. And it's, my guides do it in such a way that it's so comfortable. It's not about you have to do this or you should do that. You know, it's more like this is what we see as the issue. And here are some ways through that so you can move forward. So, yeah, I guess they do trust me. I hadn't thought about that, you know, so much. Because it is such an intimate thing, you know, they have to trust me and
all right,
I have
so
to
then
be trustworthy.
Let's take it one more step. You, in order to give the guidance, have to trust your angels, the spirits, mm-hmm. the guides that bring you the information. Have you ever been stuck? Have you ever been given information that wasn't right, or that you thought after, so I don't really trust that guide anymore?
No. There's been times, you know, where the client says, I don't even know what that means. And then they'll call me back a month later and say, oh my gosh, you know, you're not going to believe this. It takes some time sometimes for us to really hear something, for it to sink in on a cellular level. But so far they've been very clear, very open, very trustworthy themselves. And this is after just about 20 years of doing this. So I've never had a moment where I didn't trust the information coming through. That being said, on occasion, some entity will come through that feels uncomfortable to me, and I just block them to begin with. I send them away and I block them to begin with. Mm-hmm. If the message isn't about love, then, you know, it's not a message I'm going to bring through.
Scrolling ahead to the next portion of Your Hidden Power, our weekly visit from Coach Maria, the lady in question. The author of the book Life is Good When You Do the Work, Maria Francesca Trilogy, Most Accurate Astrologer I Know. So we have the solar eclipse, the new moon is in Leo this coming weekend, and Mercury has gone into retrograde. Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, oh, yes.
So what kind of let's talk about Mercury being in retrograde for the second time. There are three times in each year. It goes in for about 3 weeks.
Yep.
What do we have to expect? Because it affects some people. If you're a fire sign, oftentimes they are well served by retrograde. If you're a water sign, air sign, whatever, sometimes you're not. So how do we get our head out of our you-know-what when it comes to Mercury being in retrograde?
Well, we've talked about Mercury being in retrograde, and retrograde means that it's going backwards a little, giving us another opportunity to review, to revise, to pay more attention. I really look at retrogrades as having the ability for us to learn how to have a little more patience when it comes to anything that we're trying to really not only be in a hurry with, but move ahead with. And this retrograde is going to be in a sign that is very connected to detail anyway. So with retrogrades, we always want to look at the finer details of whatever we're working on. And we know in the overall view, it's all about, hey, don't sign that contract, don't buy that house,
right,
don't buy that car, you know, pay attention to, you're going into an important meeting, make sure that you have all the facts. So it's really about paying attention. And I really have never looked at the idea of retrograde as being something troublesome, although it does make us stop and pay more attention. And that's what we live in, a world that everything's moving so quickly. And added to that, this first week of the retrograde is moving towards this solar eclipse on Sunday, which will be in the sign of Leo. And, you know, Leo is a fire sign. And Leo is pretty, well, I won't call them impatient, but their whole idea is, hey, I've got this creativity going on right now, and I want it solidified. So they move, they want to move quickly with this retrograde and the solar eclipse and the new moon. People better just relax, slow down. Hey, it's going to be, you know, pretty inspiring. There's a lot of energy there. You know, there's a lot of idea to, not, I won't call it rebellious, but we want to move forward. We just want to get that fiery energy going, and we need to be careful.
Yeah. Being careful is not a bad thing in any circumstance.
Exactly.
Hmm. So will it affect, because the new moon is in Leo, does it affect Leos more than anybody else?
Yes, of course. It will. Here's how it works. First of all, with any new moon, any full moon, whatever sign that occurs in, they're going to feel it the most significantly. So because it's Leo, yes, of course, Leos are going to feel it more than any other sign. If your moon is in Leo, if your rising sign is Leo, or if you're a fire sign, so it kind of goes down the ladder, if we want to call it that way, Leo being at the very top. And Leos will feel it the most. So, you know, I want to say to all the lovely Leos, women and men out there, take it easy, you know, be patient, watch your, you know, how you relate to other people, because it's going to be kind of a feisty week overall as we head towards this. And we know how many people are gathering in different parts of the United States. This is the first solar eclipse to be visible coast to coast across the United States, and only in the United States,
right,
since 1776, and nearly 100 years ago. I mean, it's been 100 years since it will be seen throughout the United States.
Maria Francesca Trilogy, Life is Good When You Do the Work. Go to smbworks@earthlink.net.